distractions. Look straight ahead, I'm getting pushed sideways, off track instead. Look for the moment, nothing is real. I look for the magic when touch turns to feel. It's there right in front of me, seems far away. Is there any way, any way I can go home? Here I am again, Lake and Hennepin, thinking about life the way that things might have been. Anyway, anyway I can go home.
Hi everybody, this is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio tonight, and we have a great show I've been looking forward to for a while, and it has to do with natural cancer treatment, which of course is we're saved from that in the U.S. They don't allow things like that. And I was looking, I've had friends who have had natural clinics in the U.S. and they just all seem to be gone. It, I don't know why, unless it has something to do with they all get SWAT teamed at some point. But so we're interested in ones out of the country, particularly close by in northern Mexico. And one of the really interesting approaches to treating cancer is the Gerson therapy, which came from, actually discovered by experimentally Max Gerson in Germany. And I heard about the work that he was doing in the 30s before he escaped out of there prior to World War II, or when it really got going. And he was actually applying this therapy that he had discovered to other things, which we'll talk about. And then the story I heard, which we can get our guest to confirm or correct, is that there was a lady who came up and had heard about his successes and said, well, it should work for cancer too. Wouldn't you please try it for cancer? And he said, no, it's not going to work for cancer. You know, you only have one treatment for one disease, because he was educated in the medical system and he thought that. And then she apparently bothered him long enough. So he said, okay, we'll do it. You know, it's not going to work, but here we go. And it worked. And that started the application of Gerson therapy for cancer, which has developed quite a bit. And his daughter came to the U.S. and set up a center in San Diego. Of course, she couldn't get people to actually have a clinic there or practice, certainly not inpatients or anything. But you were allowed to talk about it, at least at this point in the U.S. And what we found out later is there's a clinic where people who understand it and, you know, for one reason or another don't want to do it themselves or are not in condition to do it themselves can go to a great place south of the border. That's what we're going to hear about from the founder, whose name is Dr. Patrick Vickers, who's been there since about 2013, in my understanding. And want to hear about the history and what got him there and maybe, you know, what led up to that, a little bit of history too, if he's willing. So thank you, Dr. Vickers, for being here. I really appreciate it greatly. And I think this will help a lot of people to hear about what you've got going on down there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
What I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, since I like to include people to benefit from this who know nothing about what they call, unfortunately, alternative cancer treatment. It should be primary cancer treatment going from a natural approach. If we could go back in history a little bit in your life before you had the idea to do this, what were the steps that led up to it? And then what was it involved in starting the center? And then we'll go after that.
Yeah, great. So I was turned on to natural medicine as a young boy. I was always getting adjusted by a chiropractor when I was younger. But even when I started getting chiropractic, a friend of our family's was a chiropractor, and he was staying at our home for the weekend when one of his children, who was sleeping with me, a five-year-old boy, woke up in the middle of the night with a cough that wouldn't stop. And he just kept coughing. And finally, his father heard him. It's like 3 a.m. He wakes up and he comes upstairs into my room and he lies his son on the end of the bed, cracks his neck both ways, and he stopped coughing immediately. And he didn't cough the rest of the night. And I was 11 years old and I said, that's what I'm going to do for a living. And so lo and behold, I'm a year away from graduating chiropractic school at New York Chiropractic College when Charlotte Gerson came and spoke at my school.
Wow.
You know, You know, as much as I knew about natural medicine at that point, I had absolutely no idea that the human body could reverse advanced terminal cancer. And so when she started speaking about her father, I was shocked, but immediately I said, that's what I'll spend the rest of my life doing. And so I graduated from school. I did chiropractic for about a year in Lima, Peru. And I expressed my passion for Dr. Gerson's work by writing Charlotte and thanking her for, you know, what she's done with it, and then thanking her father via, you know, through her. And she was so, you know, grateful for that passion that she actually invited me to come live with her for 2 months at her home in San Diego, where in her garage, she had all her father's handwritten files from 1910 to 1959 when he died.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I got to go, I'm one of maybe a handful of people who've ever got to go through Dr. Gerson's handwritten files of all his active patients.
That's when people used to have actual paper and like pens, and they wrote things on the paper, right? Not like now.
Exactly. And what was even more remarkable about all those files were there were actually two big filing boxes of nothing but handwritten letters from Dr. Albert Schweitzer to Dr. Max Gerson.
Wow.
So like 25, 30 years of Albert Schweitzer writing Dr. Gerson long handwritten letters, because they were best friends. And, you know, Schweitzer was doing his Nobel Peace Prize work in Congo for like 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
They would constantly write back and forth. I mean, Dr. Schweitzer was forever indebted to Dr. Gerson, because 8 years before Schweitzer won the Nobel Prize, he cured Dr. 8 years before Schweitzer won the Nobel Prize, Dr. Gerson cured him of severely advanced diabetes. And then Schweitzer's wife, Helena, and you can read about this in his biographies, she had terminal tuberculosis, and Dr. Gerson completely cured her of her tuberculosis. So he was forever indebted to Dr. Gerson. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I studied those files, and then I would lecture around the world over the last, you know, the consecutive 10 years after that. And then about 8 years ago, I recognized that Charlotte was retiring. And once Charlotte retired, there'd be nobody left to take over Dr. Gerson's legacy. It's that simple. You know, her son Howard could have done it, and he did, but, you know, he just didn't have that charisma and passion and ability to communicate it like Charlotte did. I mean, Charlotte was a force to reckon with. And so I just recognized that. And if nobody stepped up to the plate to take over that legacy that Charlotte left behind, Dr. Gerson's legacy would die with it, as it did for 18 years after he died. Between 1959 and 1977, nobody did the therapy. It literally was dying or dead until Charlotte rebirthed it when somebody offered the money to open up a clinic, and she decided to go along with that. And that's where we are today, 40 years later, 45 years later.
Right. A couple of things come up as you're explaining that. First, just again, with the theme of including everybody and understanding and following what you're saying, for all the people that think that chiropractic is just when your back hurts, you know, that's what it's good for. Why in the world would it have anything to do with a child coughing? I mean, the short version, obviously.
Yeah. So, you know, the safest and shortest explanation I can give you is you have something called the vagal nerve, and the vagal nerve runs along the side of the neck here, okay? Well, if your neck's out of whack, especially a young boy who's been tossing his body around all day playing at 5 years old, you know, he's going to throw his neck out of whack or his back.
Yeah.
And that can irritate the vagal nerve, and the vagal nerve can involuntarily stimulate a coughing reflex, you know? So by realigning the spine, relaxing the vagal nerve, immediately you can stop coughing. So that's probably, you know, theoretically what happened when his father realigned the vertebrae.
Okay.
And like I said, he just stopped coughing. But no, people think chiropractic is for back pain, and that, you know, that's a tragedy. That's like, you know, people think the Gerson therapy is only for cancer, but we're reversing virtually every single disease. And, you know, You know, seven movies have chronicled our work. And there's no other therapy in the history of medicine that has that kind of international recognition because of its ability to consistently reverse advanced disease. So unfortunately, all those movies were based on cancer, but the Gerson therapy reverses everything. You know, so people think chiropractic's just for back pain. It's not. It's to maintain optimal health. That's really why you should be going to a chiropractor.
Well, part of it probably has to do with the fact that there's some important nerves going down through that hole in the vertebral column, right? Like every nerve in the body, just about.
That's everything in the body is managed by the central nervous system, which is the brain and the spinal cord. So if vertebrae are out of place, your brain can't communicate optimally with the rest of your body, which it's doing via the spinal cord. So anybody looks at anatomy, if you look at the anatomy of a spine and a spinal cord, you'll see that the brain has a stem coming off of it. That stem is your spinal cord. It goes all the way down to your sacrum, your tailbone. And then at individual junctures all the way down, you have nerves coming off each vertebrae. And those nerves go out to every portion of your body and they operate every single function of the human body. So you need to get your spine adjusted. It's that simple.
Right. And the fact is the spine's not one bone. It's a whole stack of bones, right? So it's moving all the time.
Yeah, you've got, what do you have? You think you have 12, 19, 24, 24 vertebrae? And then you have your, you know, you have your sacrum as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and as far as the Gerson therapy, you know, why it would work for everything, people are into this. We've been trained in a specialization mentality. So there's one treatment for one disease. And actually, just by chance, the treatment is actually a drug. But this is a whole different approach, right? Looking at the cause of health and anything other than health. And it gets down to some basics. I suspect it's based on that, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, but even in the natural alternative healthcare field, you know, most naturopaths are still trapped in this paradigm that, you know, each disease has its own individual treatment.
Yes.
And Dr. Gerson essentially disproved that, you know. So you go to a naturopath today and you have some kind of a condition, you're going to walk out with $2,500 worth of supplements because they think you take this for that, that for this, this for that. And it doesn't work in the end, usually. You can't heal on supplements.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they also mix it up with invasive procedures now, too. And they're being taught how to be more and more like the allopathic medical system. And I think there's actually pride in that they're moving toward merging together.
And that's true. And chiropractors as well. Chiropractors are being forced more and more to work in conjunction, you know, with that paradigm. And it's tragic, but it's systematic. Yeah. They've systematically broken these professions down to, you know, make them submit essentially to what they want to do.
Yeah, moving toward the sickness paradigm. And I think Dr. O'Shea has talked about that a lot, Tim O'Shea in California, that chiropractic is losing the art of adjustment, right, in favor of more medical orientation.
It's true. It is very true.
So you guys are preserving it down there, right?
Well, we're not doing really chiropractic here. You know, we're doing the Gerson therapy. You know, if my patients come and I'm around, then I will adjust them. Okay. I just adjusted a little boy today. So, but the center of our clinic is not chiropractic. It is the Gerson therapy, you know.
Okay. Is it fair to say that the whole Gerson therapy that Max came up with in the 30s, is based on detoxification of the body and then rebuilding it with better material? I mean, is that oversimplified or is that pretty much the case?
That's it. You know, I mean, one thing's very clear is that, you know, there's two things that cause disease, toxicity and deficiency. Those are the two things. And you radically address and intensively address those two issues, which the Gerson therapy reigns supreme. Among any therapy out in the world today, there is nothing remotely close on a dietary and detoxification level as the Gerson therapy, which it's a shame because it's so simple a child can understand it.
Right.
Why these clinics aren't applying, you know, these principles, I don't understand. they're doing all the other things. They're doing hyperbaric oxygen. They're doing Laetril. They're doing ultraviolet blood irradiation with ozone. You know, they're IV vitamin C. They're doing all those things, but those things don't heal. They don't heal.
It's more the complexity stuff, like the medical approach in a way, right?
It is. That's what I mean. You know, even the natural realm, they're stuck in this medical paradigm and they can't get out of it. And that's what made Gerson such a finely packaged genius, was he simplified it. He gave us a more holistic approach to the reality behind disease. And I can remember when I was in chiropractic school, I spent hours reading the nutritional journals, hours. And I had all this knowledge, take this for that, that for this, this for that. But I couldn't package the deal.
Yeah.
When Dr. Gerson's work came to my, you know, attention via Charlotte, when she came and spoke at my school, that was it. I stopped reading all the medical journals because I knew that I had come across an eminent genius in Dr. Gerson. And that's when Schweitzer called him the most eminent genius in medical history. He wasn't kidding.
Right.
He's been now 61 years and he remains the most eminent genius in medical history.
Okay. So before we get into what you set up in Baja, in Rosarita, since Charlotte had died recently, what's going on now? What's available that you know of at the center in San Diego in the U.S.? What are they doing?
Okay, well, there is no center in the U.S. It's the Gerson Institute.
Institute, sorry. Yeah,
the Gerson Institute's nothing but an educational organization. It's a nonprofit organization designed to educate the public on Dr. Gerson and who he was. But Charlotte's been gone for 8 years, 9 years, and she just died a year ago. And then 2 months after she died, her son Howard died tragically and unexpectedly of a heart attack walking his dog. So they're out of the picture completely, and they have been for 8, 9 years. And when Charlotte left, the Institute actually turned on Charlotte. And
wow.
There were battles over rights to things because Charlotte started the Institute.
Right.
She got rights to everything that was her father's.
Mm-hmm.
It belonged to the Institute. So when she retired and left the Institute wanted all the rights. So I guess there were battles going on. I wasn't completely privy to them, but that was what was going on apparently. But nevertheless, I knew that when Charlotte left, the Gerson Institute would become obsolete because I knew the people that would end up running it because I trained with them so many years ago. And they're not doctors. They were lay people. They don't understand the human body. And so it's virtually been run into the ground. And that's why I opened up my clinic because, again, to preserve that legacy, that integrity, that quality of care that Charlotte was guaranteeing was taking place. And lo and behold, when I opened up my clinic 8 years ago, it just took off. And to this day, it is the premier facility in the world, not just for the Gerson therapy, but for any natural treatment out there. The things that we're doing, nobody else in the world's doing comprehensively.
Now, I remember when Charlotte was still around, there was a very small clinic in northern Mexico, but I don't know that much about it. Are you familiar with that one too and what it was or not?
Well, the Institute supports a clinic in northern Mexico. So the two doctors that trained me, two Mexican female doctors, have a clinic in Mexico. And they pay the Institute a handsome licensing fee to tell you and me that that's the Institute's clinic. So that's the official licensed clinic.
Okay.
Problem is, and here's the problem with that, is that when they license a clinic, so I always get the question, are you licensed by the Institute? And the answer is no, we're not licensed by the Institute. Who has the authority to license the Gerson therapy? The only person who has the authority to license the Gerson therapy is Dr. Gerson.
Right.
And he's dead.
Right.
And dead for 61 years. So they don't understand what that question really means. And what licensure means, being licensed by the Gerson Institute, is you have to pay them a handsome licensing fee, which the Mexican clinic owned by the two Mexican doctors does. But what that licensing fee gets them is the institute funnels them all the patients contacting the institute.
Right, right.
So if another person comes along and offers that handsome licensing fee, you just split your hand. And you can't show favoritism by sending some people there and some people there. So there's really only room to license one facility on this continent.
Yeah.
And that's what licensure is. Someone's paying them a handsome licensing fee, and they shuttle the patients to them. But regardless of that, we wouldn't be eligible for licensure because we don't do the Gerson therapy as Dr. Gerson left it in 1959. We do it as he did, the diet, the detox, but we've added other protocols onto that based on what's been coming out in the scientific literature of our time. Anyone who knew Dr. Gerson knew that he was the consummate scientist. He was constantly trying to perfect his work based on what was coming out in scientific literature of his time. So if Gerson were alive today, his therapy would look a lot different than it did, or would be more advanced than it was back in 1959.
Yeah.
I think
the whole idea of licensure is misunderstood. It's, people think it gives you rights. It's actually a control mechanism.
It is.
And it says what you cannot do.
That's exactly right.
Usually charges you for the restrictions as well.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, as it relates to the Gerson therapy, it's almost criminal that they impose that on people like me and others out there, because they're deceiving people and making them believe that because they haven't licensed us, that we're not legitimate or capable of doing what we are capable of doing, which is reversing advanced terminal disease. Not only are we not capable, we're more capable than just the basic Gerson therapy as the Institute's clinic practices it. Because one thing Charlotte did, which was, you know, I think a big mistake, was she refused to improve on her father's therapy. She refused.
Well, she was worried that she'd make a mistake if she did that.
Well, I think so. But you have to understand that Charlotte was the longest living Gerson survivor up until her death. She was Dr. Gerson's longest living survivor. He cured her of advanced tuberculosis when she was 12.
Yeah.
So I think she had a psychological connection to him where she just didn't want to move forward and expand. And so she left the therapy in time, even up until her death. And so we've taken Dr. Gerson's basic therapy that he left us in 1959, and we've expounded on it with additions. And every single addition we've made has come out in the scientific literature as showing benefit to cancer patients and other diseases. So we call our protocol the Advanced Gerson Therapy Protocol. And we're not licensed by the Gerson Institute. And neither do we want to be. I never want to be licensed by them.
No, you still have your freedom.
And exactly.
I know you started it in officially 2013, but what year was it when you actually decided that you were going to do it, and what did you think would be required to have it come together at that point?
I decided to do it in 2012.
Okay. Boy, it didn't take long.
It didn't. In November 2012, I recognized that this is it. This is what we have to do now. And literally, Richard, in 6 to 8 weeks, I had the clinic up and running.
Wow.
Yeah, I rented a small, luxurious home on the ocean, private beach, 3 bedrooms here on the ocean, and started with that. And then within 2 months, right adjacent to the house was a condominium high rise, literally on the property, overlooking the ocean. Within 2 months, I needed 2 condos. Within 2 more months, I needed 2 more condos. Within 6 to 8 months after starting, I had the house and I had 5 or 6 condos that I had to rent to meet the demand. And that's it. Ever since then,
that's the physical complex now, basically, is those.
No. Things. So we had to move because we were growing out of it. And so we moved, and now we are in a facility about 4 miles south on the ocean, penthouse floor of a 21-story high-rise overlooking the ocean. It's stunning. It's in a luxury resort condominium complex on the penthouse floor, and it's fantastic.
So how far south of the border is Rosarita, where you are?
We are about 25 miles south of the San Diego border.
Okay. And Baja California is actually a state in Mexico, right?
That's correct. I'm not sure how many states there are in Mexico, but the entire strip of Baja California is one state.
Okay. Okay.
And it is a spectacular place. Baja California is amazing.
Yeah, I don't think many people in America, in the United States, really know about it. I mean,
it's mysterious.
How would you introduce it to somebody who has no idea what it's like? I mean, can you describe it a little bit?
Well, it's just it's an environment of all these microclimates. For example, just 50 minutes south of here is one of the world's most famous wine countries. It's like the Napa of Mexico, Baja wine country.
Wow.
And then on the other side, you have the Sea of Cortez, which is this beautiful, quiet, pristine, virtually desolately populated entire 1,000 miles of virtually no population. From here to Cabo San Lucas, it's 1,000 miles. And it's just pristine, nearly untouched. It's really one of the last, you know, beacons of purity, so to speak, on the planet.
Mm-hmm. So what's the relationship like with the government? I mean, we have some issues with the government in the United States. They kind of forgot that it was based on individual freedom when the country started, and now it's based on the individuals belonging to the government. You have to have a license to live, basically. what's the comparison in Baja for that?
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, third world countries, they're great places to do what we do because medicine isn't organized in these countries as it is in the first world countries. So where you find medicine organized, we have the huge pharmaceutical companies, whether it's Europe, Germany, England, United States, they'll squash people like me. But in third world countries, and Mexico is probably a second world country, there's a lot more freedom. I mean, there's actually a sense of lawlessness, so to speak. I mean, there really is no law that can inhibit what we're doing. And the government that's in place right now actually is actually quite pro natural treatments. So, right now we're doing pretty well in that realm.
Okay. So in general, you've got a lot of freedom there. I know one of the interesting kind of indicators of the degree of individual freedom versus government oppression in different countries is firearms rights. I mean, what are those like in Mexico? Because I'm not saying that shooting people is the answer to things. I'm just saying that usually when a government wants to prepare to be really tyrannical and drag people out of their houses and things like that, they first criminalize private ownership of firearms. So,
well,
what's the situation with that?
Firearms are actually illegal in Mexico compared to the United States, but as I'm sure you well know, they're quite plentiful here. Only they're in the hands of you know who, the drug,
right? The actual government, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but your actual citizens—it's hard to get a gun. So,
yeah,
but no, it's the laws are stricter on guns here. Unfortunately, there's probably more guns here than there are in the United States. Well,
yeah. But the ownership is just somewhat selective, I guess.
Yeah.
And how dense is the population where you are? I mean, is it out in the country or are you in a big city?
Yeah, so Rosarito, Tijuana is the big city, right?
That's
the big city here is Tijuana. But we're about 15 to 20 miles south of Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
We're actually in the tourist town, like all the Americans come down here on weekends, you know, for vacations, for a weekend vacation and stuff. So We're in a peaceful, quiet, lively, but very beautiful Rosarito, Mexico. It's right on the ocean, and all your surfers come down. No, Rosarito's a great place. So it's kind of densely populated, but not as densely populated as Tijuana. And the further south you go, the less populated it becomes, to the point where you're nothing but desert, you know? And,
right.
You know, Baja, like I said, is a 1,000-mile-long peninsula. And from side to side, east to west, it's only 50 miles wide.
Wow, that's interesting.
So you get just this diverse, diverse culture and wildlife. It's really a great place to live. I've lived here for 8 years, and I love it.
How is the general economic well-being of the people in Baja? Are they doing okay in general, or are they struggling, or, you know?
Well, in the midst of this, it's tragic. You know, I mean, it's tragic for everyone around the world, but it's particularly tragic for people in third world countries or developing countries. Yeah. And this is no different, you know? But no, let's face it. I can have somebody, if someone's making my juices, my juicers, okay?
Okay.
If I'm working a 40-hour week, I can pay them literally $150.
And can they do much with that? I mean, can they live all right on that? What?
Well, I paid them three to four times more than that.
I mean, I know this is a little off the subject, but for people who are really interested in going down and seeing your place, and it kind of helps to know what the environment's like a little bit.
Yeah. So you mean in that respect?
Yeah. In all respects like that.
Yeah. So look, all my employees, they make three to four times more than anyone in Mexico doing the same job. The laws on paying salaries here in Mexico, it's almost criminal. Like one of my nurses, I mean, she used to work at another clinic here before she started working for me. She'd put in 100 hours every 2 weeks, and she'd take home a check for $200 every 2 weeks.
Wow.
No, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
And if you knew what they took home now, you'd be like, that is fantastic. And that's why one of the first things people say when they come to my clinic, they say, your staff is so amazing. And they are. Every single one of them is worth every penny they're paid. But it's bred a culture of love and loyalty and gratitude. And so they're ecstatic to be working here. They love working here, not just because they're getting paid better, but the environment that we've created is second to none.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. What you mentioned, the world situation right now, which is we're watching it really carefully too, and trying to find ways to not let it go where it's trying to go. And we're having this fake pandemic up here, and the government's going to use it for as much oppression as possible, with the understanding that the people are so, you know, dumbed down by education in this so-called education in the country now, and the television and the entertainment and everything, that they're actually believing what the government's saying is going on. Is that different where you are? Are they doing the mask thing? Have they got everybody terrified, or is it more intelligent than it is here?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's around the world that in the entire brainwashing regarding this pandemic, but you know, the famous Mexican phrase is mañana.
Right.
The mañana spirit, the tomorrow spirit. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mexican mentality. And so while all this stuff's going on in the United States, the atmosphere down here, down in Mexico, is so much more relaxed. The restrictions here in Mexico compared to the United States, 25 miles away, are like night and day. Honestly, I haven't sensed really any restriction other than most places you can only get food to go.
Okay.
And virtually all places, but the whole culture of fear, Mexicans are fearless. I mean, these are people who on a daily basis have to live just to survive. And so these people are completely fearless.
That's a good quality.
Mm.
So what I want to make sure and have plenty of time for before we get too far along is, from when you, how many of the enhancements to the original Gerson therapy did you have in mind when you started it, and which ones have evolved after that, and, you know, a little description of them so we get to the final product that's happening now?
That's a great question. You know, this has been a forever evolving process. One thing I made sure I never strayed from was the basic Gerson therapy. Those principles have to be part of every single cancer patient's regimen, the foundations of Dr. Gerson's diet and detoxification. And it's on that that you build. I immediately knew I wanted to do the immunotherapies that people were experimenting with, like Coley's vaccine, which isn't a vaccine. It's actually the toxins of staph and strep bacteria that were cultured by William B. Coley. William B. Coley was a Harvard oncologist who discovered that when his patients came down with staph or strep infections, like the cold, a basic cold, or you know, like a flu or a cold, that their tumors would get better or would go away completely. But then when they got over the infection, the tumors would come back. So he decided he was going to culture the toxins, not the bacteria themselves, but the toxins they produce, inject them into the connective tissue of a tumor. They would get the same fever response as if they were getting a cold or a flu. And so he would do that regularly, like every 2 to 3 days for months, and their tumors would disappear.
And he was, you just have to keep it going long enough so the tumor's gone, right? And then you can stop.
Right. But the problem with that was, and he did achieve permanent cures, but not nearly as many as he could have had he been integrating something like the Gerson therapy. Right. Because when you artificially stimulate the immune system like that, you require massive amounts of nutrients.
Right, yeah.
You're already sick and you're depleted. If you're sick, you're depleting the body even more.
And you're not taking out the toxins either.
And you're not taking out the toxins either.
You mentioned the basic foundation of the Gerson principles in the Gerson therapy. For people that have no idea what that is, maybe we should quickly just mention those before we add the other things.
Yeah, great. So the Gerson therapy foundationally, 20 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables every single day. Our patients are getting 20 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables. If it's not organic, we can't heal them. Now, 17 to 18 pounds of that is juices. Every hour on the hour, they're getting a juice every hour for 13 hours straight, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. They get one, they get two of them back to back in the morning. So they get 13 fresh pressed juices immediately off the press. Why is that important? Because that's when the enzyme activity is the highest. Those enzymes break down tumor tissue, rebuild new tissue, help to detoxify. All those things and those fresh pressed juices drunk immediately are what destroys the cancer. Then we've got to detoxify the body. And Dr. Gerson made the coffee enema famous. Coffee enema is so powerful for detoxification. There's not a more powerful way to detoxify the human liver or body than a coffee enema. And our patients get 4 to 5 a day on the cancer protocol. So that's the standard foundations. And then Dr. Gerson had a very highly specific supplement protocol that was based on the cellular production of energy on a cellular level. So there are specific supplements that Gerson instituted with the detox, with the diet, that boosted up the mitochondrial production of ATP, which is the energy molecule that the human body produces. Without ATP, you cannot rally an immune response and you cannot heal a sick and dying body. And that's why when you see someone who's sick and dying, what's one of the first things you notice? They're lethargic. Why are they lethargic? They've lost the capacity to produce energy on a cellular level. And then you're getting into alkalinity and acidity, because that's the reason why. They've lost the capacity to oxygenate tissues. And that is the secret to alkalinity and acidity. So that's the primary components of the Gerson therapy. And then it's on top of the Gerson therapy that you start adding all these other protocols.
What about when you're talking about supplements, and you didn't really get specific in that, but you said they were to get the energy up and to help oxygenate the body and things like that. What about what Dr. Gonzalez was doing in New York with also coffee enemas, but a lot more varied, you know, different array of diets that he was using? His main supplement was pancreatic enzymes, if I remember right. And he was giving massive amounts of those. And you probably know the reasoning behind it, you know, that What do you think about that? Do you have a feeling about whether that's a good or bad thing?
Well, Doc, William Kelly, who was Nick Gonzalez's mentor,
right?
We cured him of pancreatic cancer. He clearly was cured by the Gerson therapy when he had pancreatic cancer. On the Gerson therapy, Gerson had loads of pancreatic enzymes. And now we use a higher form of alpha-chymotrypsin, one of the highest forms of alpha-chymotrypsin you can get on the market, which is a pancreatic enzyme, essentially. And
so you're basically agreeing and say you've enhanced it to an even higher level, basically, right?
Well, Nick certainly gave more enzymes, but Nick did not do as much diet and detox as Gerson did. Not even close. And now, you know, the varying diets that Nick did. One thing where I think Nick did some really good work were in the blood cancers, the blood diseases like leukemia. He pretty much felt that they needed a more acidic diet, so to speak. Hmm. And so his diet for blood cancers or leukemias or multiple myeloma per se may have had a little bit more of animal products in them. But in terms of diet and detoxification, Nick, if he did even half the Gerson protocol in that regard, you know, we'd be lucky. But I don't think he did hardly half of it. But he did integrate coffee enemas. I think that patients may have gotten a couple a day and maybe like 6 or 7 juices. But somewhere along the line between him and William Kelly, a lot of the Gerson protocol was watered down.
So you're saying that Nick actually got some of his inspiration, though, from the Gerson Foundation, right?
Well, he got it from William Kelly, and William Kelly reversed his pancreatic cancer with the Gerson protocol.
Okay, so that means that William Kelly just doing, I mean, when you read some of the basic stuff about what they did, just using the pancreatic enzymes was not enough for what he actually needed, right?
Nick's ability to reverse stage 3, stage 4 cancer was nothing like what the Gerson therapy historically could do.
Okay.
Nick's ability to reverse stage 1, stage 2 was quite good. But you start getting into stage 3, stage 4 cancers, it's a completely different monster than stage 1, stage 2. But that's where Nick's wheelhouse was, stage 1, stage 2 cancers. Stage 3, stage 4 were very difficult for Nick. They're difficult for us, but particularly it didn't do enough to address those greater stage, more advanced stage cancers.
Yeah.
And that's not to take anything away from Nick. Nick was a genius. Nick was really, really a good practitioner. But Dr. Gerson to this day remains way ahead of his time. And I just don't understand why, and everyone's heard about him. I don't understand why they haven't gone deep enough to start integrating at least the diet and detox protocol that Dr. Gerson discovered.
Yeah. Are you in touch with his partner who's still running the place in New York City, as far as I know?
Nick's?
Yeah, Nick's partner. I think she's still doing it, isn't she?
Nick and I only talked on a couple of occasions before his death.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I haven't met, I've heard of her, but I've never personally spoken with her.
Yeah. Well, you also said that it was 20 pounds a day of organic vegetables, mostly in juice form. I guess you said like 17, 18 of it is in juice form. So is that a wide variety of all kinds of vegetables, or do you focus on everything?
You name it, we're using it. I mean, there are specific rules that Dr. Gerson did apply to the diet. Like, you can't have avocados, because avocados are too high in saturated fat. And Gerson actually found that someone with an advanced cancer, you give them avocados with any kind of regularity, they won't get well.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. When someone has advanced cancer, Richard, the rules change completely. And that's where Gerson was a finely packaged genius. For 50 years or more, he tinkered with everything to see how the body would respond. And so the things that you cannot have on the Gerson therapy, there are specific reasons. And if he said you don't touch it, you don't touch it, because you won't get better.
Well,
you know?
No, I know initially with the juices at the Institute, they were talking about a real heavy emphasis on carrot juice. That
carrot and Granny Smith apple remain part of the Gerson therapy.
Okay.
And the green juice that they get four times a day. So, and those have specific things. And then there's things you can't have. Like there's no spinach, there's no celery, there's no cucumber, there's no kale. Gerson eliminated them all. And there's reasons for every single one.
Interesting.
And what's interesting is now we know based on science why he eliminated them. They were brilliant, like celery. You never juice celery if you have cancer because it's the highest form of sodium you can get out of any fruit or vegetable. And when you get too much concentrated sodium in the body, which is one of the primary causes of all disease today, it shuts down the intercellular metabolism, which is the breakdown of food into energy. Sodium, you cannot produce energy properly. So rule number one on the Gerson therapy, no sodium, zero, other than what naturally occurs in fruits and vegetables, which meet dietary needs.
So how long does it, an average patient who comes in with, you know, some form of advanced cancer, how long do they usually stay? Is it like a number of weeks there?
Yeah, the average stay is 3 weeks.
Okay.
We only require a minimum 2 week stay because we understand people's logistic realities and financial capabilities. So we only require a minimum 2 week stay. Most stay for 3 weeks.
Okay. Do some stay a lot longer or is it almost always around 3 weeks?
We have somebody coming in from Malaysia. They want to stay 8 to 12 weeks. So on occasions we do get that.
Okay. And then during that time, does the protocol change or is it always the 20 pounds of vegetables, mostly juice, and it's kind of a combination of the detox and the rebuilding phase together, right?
So the therapy over time, you get weaned off of it as you go. This is a 2-year therapy. If you have advanced cancer, forget it. You're going to do this for 2 years minimum.
Okay.
If you have diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes, 3 months, maybe 6 months. High blood pressure, 3 weeks, gone. You know, so, but if you have cancer, advanced cancer, you're on this for 2 to 2.5 years. So start out on 13 juices and 5 enemas, and then maybe 6 months down the road, you're weaned down to 10 juices and 3 enemas. And
I see.
Maybe your last 6 months, you're doing 8 juices and 2 enemas.
And how does your solid food component change over that time, or if it does?
No, it's the same. You'd have 3 meals per day.
Okay. And how would you define the meals? What are they like?
Yeah. So potatoes are a staple. Potatoes are like a perfect food. They're a protein, they're a carb, and they can easily be converted into energy. You know, one of the biggest mistakes you can do in an advanced cancer patient is put them on a raw diet, all raw. Because we know that 70% of your immune system's in your digestive tract. So anyone who's sick, their digestive tract is sick.
Right.
And if you give them an all raw diet, they will not be able to handle. They won't be able to handle an all raw diet. They can't break it down. So Gerson knew that his raw food had to be in juices.
Yeah.
The amount of energy and enzymes required to convert juices into energy and utilize the enzymes and all the nutrients was minimal. It enters the bloodstream nearly as quickly as alcohol does without requiring any energy to utilize it.
Right.
But cooked food, he was adamant about. First of all, he knew the gut needed fiber. The gut survives on fiber. But secondly, cooking is a form of pre-digestion. And in a sick digestive tract, they can handle cooked food. They can't handle raw food. So
all the cellulose.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So Gerson, again, that just was one more thing that made him such a, you know, such a finely packaged genius. But let me just get back to some of the specifics on forbidden foods.
Sure.
Gerson tried every single oil on the market. And the only oil that he found didn't cause tumors to grow was flax oil.
Flax oil. Okay.
Yeah. And he tried them all. He tried olive oil, coconut, sesame. And now we know why. Because saturated fats are saturated with hydrogen. It prohibits the oxygenation of tissues because the hydrogen charge prevents oxygen from entering the cells. And that's why acidity causes disease. What is acidity? When we're talking about alkalinity and acidity, we're talking about pH. pH is potential hydrogen. So by definition, acidity is the buildup of hydrogen in the body. Where does it come from? Our diet. What are saturated fats saturated with? They're saturated with hydrogen. So when you're dealing with coconut oil, sesame oil, peanut oil, even olive oil, which is a monounsaturated fat, they're saturated with hydrogen. And when you need to oxygenate tissues to heal the body, because that's how the body makes energy, the breakdown of sugar into energy requires oxygen. Without oxygen, it goes into a cycle that produces lactic acid, and lactic acid feeds cancer and disease. That's why in 1931, Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for proving cancer can't survive in highly oxygenated environments. Right. And he went on to expound on the fact that that all is related to alkalinity in our diet. And the highly saturated fat diets of meat, butter, oils, cookies, cake, ice cream has oversaturated the body with hydrogen. And as oxygen approaches the cell in that environment, it literally gets repelled away.
Warburg talked about sugar too, didn't he?
Exactly. That's what he talked about. He talked about in an acidic environment, sugar can't get broken down into energy because oxygen can't get into the cell. So it gets broken down into lactic acid instead. So he died a health nut. He died living an alkaline diet because he knew that by alkalinizing the diet, you neutralize the hydrogen in the body. And that's what he expounded on, that you can now convert sugar into energy in the presence of oxygen in an alkaline environment. So all these people out there promoting the ketogenic diet, yeah, we're going to find in 10 years that that was the stupidest way to try to reverse an advanced cancer. Because the ketogenic diet loads the body with saturated fats.
Yeah.
They tell you that sugars feed cancer. But sugars don't feed cancer in an alkaline environment. They heal cancer. If sugars fed cancer from fruits and vegetables, we'd be leading every single person to their grave quicker than they would go naturally.
Right.
Because our patients are getting 3,500 calories of sugars a day in the form of fruits and vegetables. So how is it that the Gerson therapy has the most consistent history of reversing advanced terminal disease, getting 3,500 calories of sugar per day if sugar feeds cancer? Because sugar heals cancer in an alkaline environment where you create the environment for the body to accept oxygen into the cell and convert it into energy.
Do you think that's why somebody like Johanna Brandt had success too? Because of, you know, she was doing it on grapes, which is no protein, no fat. It's all sugar, basically, just like what you're saying.
Well, and what's in grapes as well? Malic acid. And malic acid is required for the first part of the energy cycle. So you take the sugar from the grape, you add the malic acid, and it starts the Krebs cycle of energy production. So that's a great strategy. And I know people who've done mono diets like that. I know one lady, advanced pancreatic cancer. She probably had 2 to 3 weeks to live.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 months, she could not take any food because she'd throw it up immediately. So for 6 months, she survived on nothing but 11 lemons per day.
Wow.
And I said, ma'am, that's impossible. I talked to her. I said, ma'am, that's impossible. The human body can't survive for 6 months on 11 lemons per day, I told her. She says, well, apparently it can because it did.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of sugar there either, right? Compared to grapes anyway.
No. I honestly don't know how she survived on 11 lemons per day to this day, but she insisted that's all she did.
I think what it brings up partly is that it's as much what you don't eat as what you do.
Mm, exactly.
And she had that part covered.
Her story is brilliant. She was brilliant. And she was like the lay person of lay people. Like, she wasn't educated at all. I think she had an eighth grade education. And she figured out how to cure herself from 2 to 3 weeks from death. Over a story, this lady.
Well, listen, as we wrap it up, I think there's a couple of things that I wanted to get from you. One is that you said repeatedly about the consistent track record of Gerson compared to all these other, you know, competing natural methods, I guess, and certainly the non-natural ones. What if somebody wants to know, you know, they talk about in the hospitals, they try to do it in a misleading way because the track record's really terrible. But if you were compete, they use like 5-year survival rates, right, as a typical measure of supposed success. Although in a toxic therapy, that can be the day before the relapse and recurrence. But how would you compare like any kind of a meaningful percentage rate compared to a terminal or late stage cancer in another therapy or a hospital setting or something like that? Is there a way to compare?
How would you compare success rates?
Yeah, I mean, what's a realistic, I mean, prognosis if you do well for a late stage cancer to come to the best place that you could go, like an advanced Gerson clinic? What are the chances of survival realistically over a population?
Okay, that's a great question. Okay, when Gerson was alive and using his basic Gerson therapy back in 1910 to 1959 when he died,
right,
he was probably curing more than 50% of his advanced cancer patients, the ones that would actually do the therapy. But Gerson even said going forward, his basic therapy would not get the results that it did because he knew, he saw the direction society was going. And he knew that each generation born consecutively would be weaker than the generation before it. And so basic Gerson therapy, where he was probably getting over 50% when people were compliant with what they needed to do.
Uh-huh.
Today, just on the basic therapy, we're probably getting 30 to 35% maybe.
Of the advanced cases, right.
Yeah. Now, again, these are raw numbers. Nobody can give you, don't let anybody fool you into thinking they can give you their cure rates. It's impossible on a therapy like this. Why? Because to come up with true success rates, you have to be able to control the subjects.
Yeah, there has to be what they call compliance, right? Long term.
That's just the one variable. And the main variable, you're right, compliance is the main variable, because when they do a double-blind study to come up with success rates, they're testing two things, the drug and the placebo. There's no other variables.
Yeah.
On a therapy like this, there's countless variables, and the main one is, when they leave our clinic and go home and do this for 2 years, are they doing the Gerson therapy, or are they eating hamburgers, french fries, and ice cream every day?
Right, with juice, maybe. Right.
You know, so you can't, nobody on a treatment protocol like this can give you true success rates. It's a misnomer. And the reason why is you can't control the subjects. If you can't control the subjects, you can't come up with success rates. It's that simple. What we do have are tens of thousands of patients over 100 years or more completely cured of their advanced diseases and cancer. That's indisputable.
Well, when they fail, what are the factors within their control that usually make that happen, from your observation?
In the 8 years that I've been doing this, you know, I think when Gerson was alive, just the consciousness of people, the will to live, the discipline, the grit that people had no longer exists. We, like you said, we've been dumbed down. And with being dumbed down, we've been weakened. Yeah. Like spiritually, emotionally weak. So the lack of will to live.
Okay.
A lack of discipline. The addiction to technology and entertainment. All of these things, in my eyes, are what's causing an inability of people to reverse their disease today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the environmental factors are big too. The toxicity of the environment now is not just chemical. It's also electromagnetic.
Big difference as well. Absolutely. You know, I've been doing this now 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And coming into our clinics now compared to when I was around, it's like night and day when I first started. And now with 5G coming out, people better be doing this just for prevention.
Right, right. And the G's before the fifth one are weaponized as well. And people don't realize that. So
yeah.
Are you able to pretty much hardwire your facility so you don't have to deal with that stuff? Or what's the situation?
Well, we don't have 5G here yet. I don't know when we will have 5G here. Yeah. But we'll have to somehow.
You'll have to hardwire things, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. There are some interesting protective technologies going on.
Wow.
We'll talk about that in another incident. But I think it sounds like an incredible place for everybody to find out about when they're in that situation. And unfortunately, you have millions of potential customers, hundreds of millions, actually.
And it's not going to get any less.
No, you're going to need a bigger facility.
I hope so. But with that said, the more people are getting cancer, the more the pharmaceutical industry now sleeping with Google, Facebook. Those were the ways that we promoted our work.
Yeah.
They're shut down now.
Yeah, exactly. It almost has to be word of mouth and creativity to keep it going, right?
And I don't have that yet. So, you know, going forward, I'm going to have to get more creative in terms of advertising or marketing, whatever.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can put some things on our sites and let people know about, you know, banners or something to inquire, because it deserves to be known everywhere. It seems to me.
It's, and I encourage everyone, if they're seeking out a cancer clinic, to visit every clinic you're considering. And I'm confident that if people did that, they all would come beating a path to our door when they see what's out there in my industry
and
come to our place. It's like night and day. It is truly an oasis of healing, you know, certainly in Mexico, but around the world.
Yeah. And it sounds like in the Mexico facility, you've got a nice place for people to be outdoors too. They're not just trapped in the indoor environment in the building all the time, right?
No, we have we have like seven balconies. Our facility, it's nearly 100 yards long. And it's probably 30 yards wide, 20 to 30 yards wide, about 100 yards long. And with that comes seven balconies that you sit and overlook the ocean, watch the whales go by during whale season and have the sun beating down on you. It's a paradise.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nice. There's a lot more we could go into. I don't want to keep you late, so we're right at the end of the time. But what's the easiest site for people to find, or even numbers to call if you want? Any way to keep up with what you're doing and get around the censorship issue?
Yeah, thank you. So our website is gersonclinic.com, and Gerson is G-E-R-S-O-N, gersonclinic.com. And you can reach me at director@gersonclinic.com. And our phone number is a Wisconsin phone number because that's where I'm originally from. And that's 715-299-5070. So that's how you can reach us. But spend time on our website. It's an amazing website of education, lectures, you know, me going into the science like I did tonight, literally hours upon hours of interviews, lectures that I've given. And you can take a virtual tour of our facility, which is spectacular. So,
yeah,
so
that's great.
You know, I invite everyone to do that.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I think it would be great. Is there anything that they should particularly read to catch up on any of this stuff, or videos to watch, or what do you recommend?
Not in particular. You just go to our website and see the video section, our YouTube channel. It's okay. Right there. You can click on it. But, you know, I write up on the website. I write up a history of Dr. Gerson and his life. I write up the science behind it. You know, so that's all on the website that people can read. It's great reading. Dr. Gerson's life was nothing short of remarkable.
Okay, that sounds great. There's a lot more. Hopefully we'll be back and do this again in the near future.
Yeah, we can do this again.
Yeah, hold on and we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Okay.
Okay, guys, so there goes Dr. Patrick Vickers. I thought that was a really great discussion, and I learned a lot about what he's doing down there. I really was not familiar with the current clinic, the Advanced Gerson Clinic that he's got in Baja. I had heard before from the Gerson Institute in San Diego about a very small clinic earlier that I think they had 10 beds or something like that, and it sounded like a small operation. But what Dr. Vickers is doing is much more involved, and they've taken it further, and the advances, like their the special mats that they're using and things that help unclump the blood cells and get more oxygen into the body right away. You know, it sounds like he's doing an incredible job in a beautiful environment. I didn't ask him about year-round weather, but I suspect it's really good most of the year. Right on the beach should be fantastic negative ions from the ocean and, you know, nice, clean, inspiring environment. So that's great. And the juice quality, I know they're using all organic vegetables and a wide variety of them and juices all during the day. And it sounds like, you know, that it'd just be a really great, uplifting place to be. So I encourage people to take a look at the website, study the stuff on that. It's gersonclinic.com, and there are nice pictures of the facility there. I didn't realize you could take a virtual tour, but that would be fun to do too. So take a look at it. It's in Rosarito, Mexico, not very far south of the border, easy to get to. Just a good man, and I think he's very sincere. He's there to try to help heal as many people as possible. And I know there's a question when people leave with how much they're going to keep up, because they've got all these influences of fear from doctors and family and friends and well-meaning people who are, you know, telling the patient that can't possibly work. But even under those circumstances and with that going on, they have a lot of success stories. And I'm anxious to read what's on the website up to date, which I haven't seen recently, and also watch the videos that he's got. So that's the modern Gerson Clinic of, I think it's called Gerson Clinic of Northern Baja. And anyway, you'll see it at gersonclinic.com, and we'll have him back on the show in the future to give updates and get into more detail of what they do. In the meantime, get on our mailing list if you can. It's at lostartsradio.com. You'll see a place to sign up there so that we can stay in touch with you if there's a problem staying on some of the major platforms that are a little bit delicate these days, to say the least. And you can also subscribe to us now for free on brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And that's a non-censoring video platform that needs support. All you have to do to support it is use it, watch videos there. He's getting huge numbers of increasing traffic, and it's not another like the main two or three that are up now on everywhere, but it's really worth supporting because of the non-censoring policy. The other thing is, if you want to support us, we don't do commercials. If you want to donate to our cause and keep us on the air and support our projects, hopefully, that we're working towards, go to lostartsradio.com and donate at the donate button there, or at the donate button on lostartsresearchinstitute.org, or at Subscribestar, or if you join Planetary Healing Club, that's for the people that want to get deeper into this, and we can talk in a supportive environment that is also not being censored at all. And we'll talk about anything that you want to in the realm of natural healing, health issues, not medical advice, of course. So you go to your doctor for that, but ancient healing knowledge that we're updating to be applicable that you can use yourself in your own taking care of your physical body and adapting to current conditions and toxic environments, and they're very powerful, as well as the consciousness tools that make it easier to use them, and events happening in the world that are relevant to what we have to deal with. All that stuff is freely discussed every week live, interactive. Doug and I are both there, and that's at planetaryhealingclub.com, all spelled out, planetaryhealingclub.com. There are small dues for the members to that private group, and they help us keep going with the work and hopefully expand what we're able to do in the near future. So check that out. If you have questions or comments or show suggestions or anything like that, feel free to email me at richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'd be happy to hear from you. I read everything like that and respond as time allows. And then remember that we've got our Saturday show, Lost Arts Radio Live, right before the private club meeting. It's at 4:30 Pacific time, Saturday afternoon, 7:30 Eastern time. And that's about current events. And there's a lot of amazing things that are happening right now in the world. And our interest is in turning them in a positive direction. But you have to understand what they are in order to do that. So we talk about those things. Sometimes with other people, they're coming to help us. And you meet some amazing people that way. That's Lost Arts Radio Live. And keep up with all that stuff at lostartsradio.com. I think that's about it. Really appreciate you giving us the time and visiting so that you could meet Dr. Patrick Vickers. He's a person doing some great work. And I remember his site, gersonclinic.com. Let us know what you think about it, and hopefully it'll be something of use to you and educational and helpful for somebody. So thanks for the time, and look forward to seeing you again next time, and take care of yourself in the meantime so that you can do everything that you do with more positive impact on the world. Take care of yourself. I'll see you in a while. Thanks.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
I got no clue, didn't know what to ask. River was flowing, time it had passed. Don't know what I got, till I know that it's gone. Seems like it's right, till I know that it's wrong. It's there right in front of me, seems far away. Is there any way I can go home? Distractions, look straight ahead. I'm getting pushed sideways, off track instead. Look for the moment, nothing is real. I look for the magic when touch turns to feel. It's there right in front of me, seems far away. Is there any way I can go home? Here I am again, laking hennepin, thinking about life, the way that things might have been. Anyway, anyway, I can go home. I'll tell you about it. Not hard to figure. There's no doubt I wanna go home. Is there any way I can go home? Here I am again, laking hennepin, thinking about life, the way that things might have been. Anyway, anyway, I can go home. Is there any way I can go home?